But reading tonight from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And we had it agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So we have a man that's got a vineyard, he's got a labor issue, and he needs to hire some workers. So he goes out and he begins to hire workers. And he went out about the third hour and saw others idling in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whosoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he saith to himself, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right you shall receive. So when even has come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call all the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they received that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when he first came, they supposed that they should have received more. So those that worked there from the third hour or the first hour all the way up, they felt like they should receive more. And likewise, they received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. So these last guys, they only had to work 1 hour. They received the same amount of wage that we had. And thou hadst made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat all day. And he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Boy, I love the King James sometimes. I do thee no wrong. Didst thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto his last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called but few chosen. You can be seated. We find in the biblical times they broke their day down just a little bit different than we do today. They have the first hour, which was 6 to 7 a.m. I'm assuming that it was the first hour of the day, although it doesn't specify here that the owner of the vineyard went into the vineyard. And then the second hour was 7 to 8. The third hour, which is mentioned, is 8 to 9. Then the sixth hour, which is mentioned, is 11 to 12. And the ninth hour is the 2 to 3 p.m., and the 11th hour is the 4 to 5 p.m., and of course the 12th hour would be 5 to 6 p.m. So they break this down into the various times, and I believe, church, that we here in the day that we live in, we are living in the 11th hour of time on this earth. As we look at the conditions of our world, things are speeding up and they are changing so very rapidly. And in this parable that we just read, we find the story of a man who has a vineyard as well as a shortage of workers in that vineyard. He goes at various times in the day and he hires workers and he pays them all the same. It doesn't matter if they work 3 hours, if they work 6 hours, 9 hours, or 12 hours. He paid them each a day's wage, which was a penny. Now, we can look at this parable, and we can look at it in so many different ways, and I wish tonight to look at only one time frame on this parable, and that is the 11th hour. I believe that you can take this parable and you can break it down into periods of time throughout history, from the church, first church being the book of Acts, being the first hour, and then the third hour. And if you want to know more about that, Brother Jason Sisko, I believe it was Family Camp this year, if I'm correct, preached an awesome message on this topic and tied it in very well. And I'm not trying to go down the road that he went down and tie it all together in a historical content. And if you're interested, you can go on the district website, I'm sure, and Wisconsin UPCI district, and you could probably download that or order the CDs or DVDs, whatever you would like. But if the Book of Acts church is the early church, was in the very early hours of the day, and the time is in 3-hour increments until the last time slot. If you notice, he didn't go until the 12th hour of the day. He went until the 11th hour. Now, I'm not for sure exactly why he did that, other than I believe that the church that we are living in today, the time we are living in, as Jesus was stating in this parable, that time is going to be shortened, that you're going to have less time than what you think you're going to have. I believe that God is shortening our days. Now, the bishop spoke this morning all around this particular topic. He talked about the second coming and conditions of the earth prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. For we know not the date nor the hour, but we do know the condition or the season in which he will come. And I believe that that season, we are living in the 11th hour. There has been a spirit of expectation that has been growing within me. It has been building over the past few months, and I told our ministry staff as we went on our first pastoral retreat back in the month of October, and I began to talk to them about how I'm feeling inside and what I'm thinking and feeling in the next season as this church goes through another season of change, that there is a spirit of expectation that I just simply cannot get rid of. I wake up in the morning sometimes and it's on me, and all day long I am thinking about, and sometimes I get frustrated because I am expecting something. There's a spirit. I talked to the church, and I've mentioned this over the last few months, that there's a change that I feel that is coming, and it has been a great year thus far here at Calvary Gospel Church, and with the pastors and our staff, we talked about all the changes that have taken place over the last few years here at Calvary Gospel Church. Every year this time, I'm not for sure if you've noted a pattern, but over the last 3 or 4 years, I have spoken on the Sunday night before the New Year's being the last Sunday night of the year, and have kind of given a challenge for the next year. I feel that this year has been a great year. But at times it has been somewhat of a difficult year, as I feel the full responsibility of senior pastor has finally and fully rested upon my shoulders. I don't know if you'll ever understand that or not. I'm sure Bishop understands that. He probably feels a little bit light on the responsibility. I talked with him just a few weeks ago, and he was saying, "Son, my phone hardly ever rings anymore." I said, "Because they're all calling me now, Dad. Thank you." So I feel that over the past year, it has been a great year. It has been a year of adjustments, having to learn to deal with every aspect of the church, as well as all the ministries that we have here, and our staff adjusting to different type of a leadership style, as well as adjusting to change in job responsibilities, as everything has literally been shifted from the bishop on down. And this year was a year of adjustments, if you will. And I'm so very proud and so very happy as senior pastor of our staff and the leadership that we have here in all of the ministries, and God has blessed this church with great leadership, and I'm so thankful for the leadership example that I have had over many years in my life. Yes, you can clap for that. I'll tell you right up front that we've not gotten everything right every time. But we're working on how we can better serve this church as well as better serve this community. And as I discussed as a staff, we begin to speak about the urgency of the times in which we live in. How much time is seemingly speeding up. We have all of these technical gadgets that are supposed to make us, give us more freedom and give us more time. And it just simply consumes our time daily, all day long, where it used to be you would go home at the end of the day and you would check your answering machine. Now you carry it with you, and people expect to be able to contact you any time of the day or of the night. We speak of the urgency of the times, how time is getting shorter, and how much more we need to get done for the kingdom of God. And I was reminded of this parable as we sat around that table and discussed, in which we are in the 11th hour of our day. That simply means that I believe that we as a church are in for one wild ride up until the trumpet sounds and calls us home. I'm reminded of the many, many prophetical words that have been spoken over the years concerning this church, some going back many years now and some just as recent as early this spring and into summer. I'm reminded of the many dreams that members of this congregation have had, and the great miracles and the great signs and the great wonders that God has brought as well as has done in this place. All in the prophetic, all of these are yet to be done. And I know as well as we appreciate all that God has done so far, I believe that God has just given us and continues to give us great favor among our community and among each other. I believe that God has so much more that we have just literally just tipped the surface of what God has for us and what He wishes for us to have. I also feel that as we enter into this next season of time here at Calvary Gospel Church into 2016, God is going to open up the heavens like He has never done before. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, what is it? What is it, church, that is holding this back? What is it that we, that you, and that I need to do? I know there are times where we just simply run out of steam. There are times I go home after events and I'm just simply exhausted. We run out of steam. We become tired. We become weary in our well-doing. But Jesus commanded us, He says, not to become weary in well-doing, for we will reap in due season if we faint not. So hang on, church. Hold on, church. Don't give up. You're just about to enter into the final season. The final hour. This year has gone by so very quickly. And as we enter into 2016, I wish that all of us, and I know that this does not represent our entire congregation, so we'll be covering this topic over the next few weeks, but all of us, I wish that all of us would enter into the next year with a level of expectancy. A level of expectancy where that they expect something. We come to church and we expect something. We wake up in the morning and we expect something. We live our lives in a level of expectancy. Thus, I wish to title this last Sunday night sermon of 2015, The Expectant Urgency of the 11th Hour. You see, we just came through the Christmas. We're still actually in the Christmas season. Some of you probably haven't finished your Christmases yet. You may have yet this next week. Some families are so large and so extended that Christmas sometimes can go on for weeks. But if you remember, maybe as an adult, probably didn't affect you the same way as when you were a child, but there was that night before Christmas. And you looked around the Christmas tree, and you saw all of the presents that are underneath the tree, and you begin to look at all of them. And I remember one year we was so much anticipation over Christmas that Mom and Dad had gone out, and us boys, we found the Scotch tape, and we went in with a razor blade that we took from Dad's shaving razor, and we cut open the tape, and we opened all of the presents. So we were so excited. And then we carefully wrapped them all back again. Anticipation, we couldn't wait. We were so excited. Maybe it was a birthday. Maybe you've had a birthday or maybe some big vacation. I know I get very antsy before I go on vacation. And many years we've gone to Canada fishing, and Brother Thomas and I have gone up and ridden up there many times, as well as with Bishop and with Blake George and Rick Wells and Kelvin and Jim Rivas and a bunch of the guys from the church. We all go up to Canada, and it's just like a week before we're ready to go. We've already checked out. We're already checked out of work. We've checked out of job responsibilities at home. The lawn can wait any other time of year. We got to get to lawn mode, but it's cannon of fishing time. I don't care. It will wait. We leave on Friday or Saturday morning, but technically we left already the previous Monday. We're already in Canada as far as we are concerned. There's that level of expectancy. Get so excited that you can't fall asleep. You got a long drive ahead of you and you stay up all night long because you can't sleep because you're so excited. Expectation. Expectation. Tonight, the CIP. I'm thankful for our CIP program. I'm thankful for all of the volunteers that are in our CIP program. But Brother Jason Bros called me up yesterday and he had got a brand new smoker for Christmas to smoke meat in, and he couldn't wait to use it. His level of expectation was very high. I don't know where Jason is now, but he was here a few minutes ago, but he called me and he wanted to know all about how to use and what recipes and what would I put on it. And we talked about prime rib. You wonder why I'm talking about food all the time. Pastor has a whole bag full of tamales over here sitting on, in case I go long tonight. Courtesy of the Martinez family. You wonder why I talk about food, because I'm literally surrounded by it. This afternoon, there's a knock on my door, and I open the door up, and there's a plate of food brought to me. And it had smoked buffalo, courtesy of Jason Brost. And it had some macaroni and cheese that was homemade and all put together in this plate. And you look at that, and it's just like, oh. How many of you, we had Christmas, we had smoked ribs, beef ribs, we had smoked turkey, smoked ham, we had deep fried turkey, we had roast beef, prime rib, smoked prime rib. The Powell family came over, Dan and Julie, and provided all this meat and stuff, and all the anticipation. You cook all day long, and you just can't wait to just sink your teeth. It's just a level of expectation. You can smell that all day long. Here we go again. We're coming up on a fast. You're going to get 21 days free of all of this. Trust me. Enjoy it. Savor it while you can, okay? So here, expectation. We went to Christmas and down there at Lana and Marvin's, and all morning Cole was asking, Poppy, what time is it? What time is it? We're not going to open presents till after breakfast. We haven't eaten breakfast yet. After we eat, what time is it? What time is it? He wants to know what time it is. You tell him the time. 5 minutes later. It's 5 minutes later than it was 5 minutes ago. It's going to be a little bit. When it came time to distribute the presents, Ava and Cole, they knew all of their gifts. They knew whose all presents were who. They had it all figured out. You see, they had a high level of expectation, and it had been building for days. You see, they're so excited because they were expecting something. They were expecting something underneath that tree, and he looked at all of them excited, expectant with expectation. We look at the word expectation, and expectation is the act or the state of looking forward to an event as about to happen. That which is expected or looking for, the prospect of the future, grounds upon which something excellent is expected to happen, prospect of anything good to come. I came across this statement of expectancy, and I thought that it was worthy of mentioning. To expect is to look forward to something regarding as it is as very likely to happen. So when you look at something, you're anticipating the occurrence or the coming of something. It has to do with your attitude. And Bishop has stated this many times behind this pulpit in the past, that your attitude determines your altitude. Your atmosphere is closely linked to your attitude. When you look at attitude, you look at altitude, you look at atmosphere. Your atmosphere is the mood, the influence, or the environment that you surround yourself in. And an atmosphere without expectation will kill your dreams. It will destroy the hope that is within you. An atmosphere of expectation is conductive to supernatural and divine intervention in your affairs and your life. There is power in expectation. And as we go into 2016, I desire to see a level of expectation in the saints of God. Expectation. You understand there is power in expectation. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. If you want something to happen in your life, you must expect for that thing to actually happen in your life. But sadly, so many people go to church today and they go to the same church year after year, not receiving anything. They go in with nothing. They leave out with nothing. They go to church. They just go to church because it is a habitual thing to do. Now, some habits are good habits to have. Going to church is a good habit to have, but if there's no sense of expectation and if there's no desire to see God manifest himself as they walk out of the church, why in the world are you going there? You need to walk into church and you need to come into these doors with a level of expectation. When you get ready for church and you put on your socks, you need to expect that when I get to church tonight, something is going to happen. You need to expect when you get in your car and you turn that key over and you begin to drive toward church. The closer you get to church, the higher level of expectation should be, because God is in this place because we expect him to be in this place. You see, having no sense of expectation and having no sense or desire to see God, you see people that they come to church because of tradition and formality, but they're not expecting anything to take place. We read in 2 Timothy 3:5 about a group or a church that has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Here at Calvary Gospel Church, we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, and we expect the Holy Ghost to be here. Why do we expect it to be here? Because it is within us, and where we are, it is. So that simply means when we go to the mall, it is our protection in the mall. As bullets begin to fly, as we drive down the road, and a car almost sideswipes us and takes us into eternity, the Holy Ghost is there to protect us. Where we go, it goes. Where I go, it goes. There should be a level of expectation when we all collectively gather in the same place with the same spirit. You see, I understand that faith, when you look at faith, and you look at expectation, they are not the same thing. Although they are so very close related, faith and expectation are distinctively different. You can have faith without expectation, but you can't not have expectation without faith. They have faith. There's faith in the promises in the Bible, and we believe scriptures, and we read scriptures like Isaiah 53:5, when it says he was wounded for our transgressions. We read this all the time. As we come up for prayer, we maybe are reading this over in our minds. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, or with his stripes, we are healed. And we read that over and we read that over. Sometimes we have little faith and we have little expectation, and we come up here and little happens. How many times have we been prayed for and nothing happened? There are times in my life I've been so sick and I've said, God, please, either just take, when I remember when I had my first kidney stone, it was, God, either take me home or heal me. I can't handle this. This is, if you've ever had a kidney stone, you'll know what I'm talking about. God didn't heal me. I had to pass that silly thing. But you know what? I learned some things about God in that process. You see, sometimes we go through and we endure pain. Other times, I don't understand. God healed me of acid reflux. He healed me of knees. I should have had surgery on my knee, and God healed me with that. But see, sadly to say, how many people come into church today and they become settled and they become comfortable with the condition that they are in to where that it no longer bothers me. I've had this sickness for so long, it no longer bothers me. I've become accustomed to it. I've adjusted my lifestyle to it. So as a result, we have no faith and there's no level of expectancy. I am believing that in 2016 that things in this church are turned upside down when it comes to signs, miracles, and wonders. It doesn't matter to me if you don't believe it, but I am going to go into this year because I feel it so strong on the inside of me that if nothing else changes, I'm going to change. I am going to believe God that He is going to do what He said He was going to do. We become comfortable. We become comfortable. You see, the Bible says in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe that with all of my heart. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You can have faith without expectation, but you can't have expectation without faith. Understand that faith has to come first before expectation can exist. You can't even get saved. You can't be healed. You can't be delivered. You can't have anything unless you have faith, because expectation is built upon faith. So faith must come first. If you read the Word of God, you must decide to believe in what is God's truth. You've got to have that level of faith. You can't even receive salvation without a level of faith. Faith comes first. The next thing that has to be done is you have to look at your level of expectation. Do you really expect what you read in the Bible to happen in your own life? Do you really expect doors to be opened for you when you take and you cry out to God, God, I need a new job? Do you really expect when you go into that place of business that you really want that job? Do you really expect God to give it to you? Or do you go in there and say, God, whatever your will is? I found out that whatever God's will is simply a cop-out for not believing. That's for me. People say, well, you know, if it's God's will that I be healed. What do you mean if it's God's will that you be healed? I struggle with that statement. I'm frustrated by that statement. Well, if it's God's will that you know, he blessed me. If it's God's, we take our own faith and expectations, and we're going to take and we're going to throw it back at God and say, God, because I don't have it, even though you've given to every man a measure of faith, because I don't have it or I'm not exercising it, then I'm just going to throw it back and say, whatever your will is, Lord, I guess whatever it's going to be, God. If you want my son saved or you want my daughter saved, Lord, whatever your will is. Do you really expect? Do you really expect what you read in the scriptures to happen in your own life? Do we expect it? Do you? How many of you expect it? How many of you are expecting God to do great things in your life in 2016? Do you expect doors to be open for you that no man can close? Because that's what my Bible tells me. I'm going to open doors that no man can close. And there are doors in your life that I'm going to close that no man can open. I expect something. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. No other aspect of Christian life is more important than faith, and we can't expect things if we have no faith. You see, faith is something you can't purchase it, you can't sell it, you can't borrow it from your friends, you can't go to Walmart and say, I want to buy a box of faith. It doesn't work that way. The dictionary defines faith as a belief in or devotion to or trust in somebody or something, especially without logical proof. I have faith in God. I have faith in God. The Bible has much more to say about faith and how important it is. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." According to the Bible, faith is a belief in the one true God without actually seeing him. I have never seen him with my own eyes, but I have felt him. I feel him. I can feel him all over this platform. I can feel him all over in this assembly tonight, because God is here. I have faith that he is here. When we read in Acts 3, 2 through 5, "And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms," and says, "as they fastened," the Peter and John fastened their eyes upon him, John looked at him and says, "Look on us. Look on us. Look at me. And he gave heed unto him." Now this is all about faith. This is all about the process taking place on here. He was expecting to receive something from them. His faith has now produced a level of expectation. When he says, "Look on us," he turns and he looks at them. He not only believes that he is about to receive something from them, but he expects to receive something from him. Faith brought him to that gate every day, because he knew that if he went to that gate, that by having faith of going to that gate every day, that he would receive some alms from the poor. But expectation is what calls him to receive a miracle. God wants us to release our faith. Did you hear that tonight? God wants us to release the faith that we have and expect him to supply the supernatural that we need and desire. The key and the secret to all of these miracles, signs, and wonders isn't whether or not God shows up. It's whether or not we have faith and we expect him to be here. The problem isn't God. The problem is me and you. We are the problem. Your expectation is your God-given ability to make a demand for your future. Your expectation connects you to the supernatural, for God's supernatural intervention, which is what we call miracles. Your expectation is crucial to your success in God. Your expectation, you must learn to be expectant. We have got to learn that when we come into the house of God, we've got to learn that every day, Bishop, that we expect God, something from God. I'm reminded of the story we read of the woman with the issue of blood. And as she takes... she has this issue of blood, and she takes, and she had been sick for a very long time, but understand, she began to make her way. She made a conscious choice that morning when she got up. She says, "I am going to see Jesus. I am going to touch him. I'm going to get as close to him as I can get. And when I touch him, I expect something to happen." If she didn't expect something to happen, and she would have stayed in bed that day, because she had been sick for most of her life. But as she made her way through the crowds, you have to understand the culture. The women weren't close to Jesus. It was a male-dominated culture. And all of the men were no doubt gathered around Jesus. And they were pressing on him, the scripture says. And the crowds pressed on him. And they pushed and they pushed. And they were pushing. And Jesus was constantly having to push back from the throng. And some woman, who we don't even know her name, was so desperate, she took the faith that she had, she took the expectancy she had, and she crawled in the dirt on her way to Jesus. Why? What drove her? because she knew. She says, I don't even have to have him lay his hands on me. I don't have to have him stand up and recognize who I am. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Oh, Calvary Gospel Church, if we could just make our way through the crowd, force our way through, if we've got to crawl on the dirt, if we've got to crawl on the carpet just to get to the hem of Jesus Christ. I'm so expecting God to do great things in 2016. As this woman made her way, she touched, she got close enough, she touched the hem of his garment, and all of the church members that were all around trying to schmooze up to Jesus looked at him. Jesus said, somebody touched me. All of his disciples that were so spiritual, they said, Lord, we don't understand. We've been touching you all day. We've been guiding you through this crowd. You don't understand. Jesus says, you don't understand, Peter. You don't understand, John. You don't understand, Andrew. Somebody touched me that had a level of faith and had a level of expectation, because when they touched me, I felt my Holy Spirit. I felt the power of God that said, let there be light. I felt virtue flow out of my body. That is how we need to approach Jesus Christ. A level of expectation. I'm very passionate about this tonight, in case you haven't noticed. I've been doing a lot of teaching. I'm just kind of letting loose tonight. 2016. The 11th hour. Church, we need to come to an agreement. We're going into 21 days of prayer and fasting. I believe in those 21 days. I told Pastor Thomas, the last 4 or 5 months of this year, I have felt and fought more things in the spirit world than I've ever fought or felt in my life. I don't know exactly what's the cause of it, but I do think I know, I guess, what the cause of it is. It's because when we push against the enemy pushes back. When we take and we start churches and we start daughter works and we start preaching points all over this city, there's going to be some pushback. And I believe that the enemy is pushing back. But as he pushes back, I believe with faith and I believe with expectation, and I believe in God is going to perform miracles and signs and wonders, and the church is not going to leave this earth defeated and beaten and broke down and left for dead, but we are going to be victorious. We need to agree right here and right now. And you may say, Pastor, I'm not into fasting 21 days. I'm not going to ask you to fast 21 days. We're going to go over that Wednesday night. I'm going to ask you to join in and fast with some of us for that duration of time. And however long you can go, you can go. And whatever fast you choose, you can choose. But I know one thing, that the church, if we agree right here and we agree right now, if there's at least 2 or 3 of you in this building right now that agree with me, would you stand to your feet? Because the scripture says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. If 2 or 3 agree on any one thing, let it be established. If our musicians can come and our praise team can get ready to sing, you can stay on your feet if you would like. We need, as we go in to 2016, I'm not a real big one for New Year's resolutions, because usually you make the resolution and 2 or 3 hours later, you've broken it. I've determined I'm going to lose weight. I've not lost weight. I've lost about 11 pounds, and I'm stuck right there at 200, 201, 199, 198, 200, 203. I'm stuck. I can't get any lower. I'm not going to make a resolution to lose weight this year. I don't care. I determined that this must be the weight that God wants me to be in, because if two or three numbers agree or average out. So tonight, as we close, let's agree, church. Let's agree right here. Let's agree right now. If you're a member of our CIP program and you say, well, I'm not really a member of this church, you don't have to be a member of this church to agree and have things change in your life. The Bible doesn't say you have to belong to Calvary Gospel Church in order to have blessings and things happen to your life, but you must agree. You see, God is going to bless those that desire and have a desire. So if you want to go into this next year and you want your life to change, you need to make an agreement right now. You need to set your level of expectation. And church, as we go into 2016, our theme for 2016, and we'll get some graphics up here as we get into the month of January and we start laying this out even more. Our theme for 2016 is simply expect. 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 Brother Claude, I expect miracles in African International. Brother O'Neill, I expect miracles in his ambassadors. I expect miracles at Voices. I expect miracles at Revival Ridge. I expect miracles at Rolling Prairie. I expect miracles at Calvary Gospel Church. I expect miracles on our campus ministry. I expect miracles in our transportation. I expect miracles on Park Street. I expect miracles in our Sunday school. I expect miracles. I'm expecting. I'm going in with a level of expectation that God is going to do just exactly what He has promised He is going to do. That He is going to fulfill every prophecy that He has said, that He has promised. But church, understand, we are in the 11th hour. So when I talked about being in for a wild ride, that means that all of these things that God has prophesied were going to happen are going to happen before the 12th hour comes, because I believe that is the rapture of the church. So we are in for an incredible wild ride. Because God is going to do some miraculous things. And I'm excited. I'm excited. So I want to just go ahead and praise team. You can start singing. And if you're with me and you want to join in and you want to go into 2016 with a level of expectation in your life, maybe tonight you don't feel that way, but by faith, profess it. Because you see, it's out of your mouth. It's out of your mouth. Profess it with your mouth. I believe that God is going to do some wonderful things in my life. I believe that God is going to do some wonderful miracles in my family. I believe God is going to bring my prodigal son back home. I believe God is going to bring my prodigal daughter back home.
I need you to break through. Tear down the walls. Let everything fall. Because I want to praise you. With nothing between you and me. I need you to break through. I need you to break through. Oh, there is more I've yet to discover. There's so many.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Reach out to the Lord.